بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلوات الله وسلامه على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تمسك بسنته بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Before we begin, inshallah, this talk that the Shaykh is about to give, it is just as important as the last beneficial talk that was given by Shaykh Abu Abdul Rahman Hussein Al-Awaisha. Especially when we find immediately after the talk of the Shaykh, a brother with good intentions, inshallah, he came to me and he asked me about my position concerning the people in Birmingham and what's going on. So I told the brother, listen to the talks and benefit, and leave this kalam farigh, kalam of no benefit. Better for us to pray 2 rak'ah, to read the Quran, to go to sleep, to talk with your brothers, than it is to talk about that fitna in those people. Because it'll do nothing but bring you further away from Allah and cause problems, get your good deeds eaten up. So the Shaykh Abu Abdul Rahman said something that was tremendously important, inna lillahi, about saying what's going to benefit you. So we have now another one of those beneficial talks, inshallah, that's going to be given by our Shaykh that most of you know already. For those of you who don't know him, he is Abu Anas Muhammad Musa Al-Nasr, who is from the Talameed or the students of Al-Sheikh Nasir al-Din Al-Albani Rahimullahu Ta'ala. And he has spent over 25 years, a quarter of a century, being a student of Al-Sheikh Nasir from 1973 to the year that he died. The Shaykh received his bachelor's degree from the Islamic University of Medina in 1991, where he specialized in the Ulum al-Quran from the College of the Quran, as he is from the Hufad of the Kitab of Allah Azza wa Jal. And for that reason, every time he comes on these trips with the other Mashaykh from Jordan, he's always the Amir of the trip. And he's always the one who they put in front to lead the salah. And when Sheikh Nasir was alive, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he used to take the Sheikh Abu Anas to be him and the people in the prayer. In 1994, he received his master's degree from the Punjab University. And then he went on to further his studies in Sudan, where he received his PhD from the Jamiat al-Quran. Right now, the Shaykh Abu Anas, Jazahullahu Khaira wa Ahsanullahu Ilayhi, he is the Naib of the Mudir of the Markaz of Al-Imam Al-Albani there in Jordan. He is the secretary or the vice president of the one who is in charge. And he is the one who is responsible for the Asala magazine that is also coming out of that market. He is the Imam and the Khatib of one of the biggest masjids there in Jordan. And he has, alhamdulillah, over 40 books that have been printed and about 30-something books that have not been printed yet, but they're waiting to see the light of the printing press. So he has well over 80 books that he has authored. So we have a qualified person before us, inshallah, someone who we know for his knowledge. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him and us ikhlas and the tasdeed and the tawfiq in our effort. Tafadhal, inshallah.
Inna alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها كل محدثة بدعة كل بدعة ضلالة كل ضلالة في النار. موضوع المحاضرة كما هو في البرنامج: كيف يستفيد المسلم المقيم في بلاد الغرب من وقته، وبمعنى آخر أهمية الوقت في حياة المسلم في بلاد الغرب. قبل أن نبدأ في صلب الموضوع لابد أن نبين أيها الإخوة والأخوات أن الله عز وجل خلق الخلق لمقصد عظيم، من أجله قامت السماوات والأرض، من أجله أرسل الله الرسل وأنزل الكتب، من أجله أهريقت دماء زكية، دماء الأنبياء والشهداء. من أجل هذا المقصد، هذا المقصد هو أصل بعثة الرسل، ألا وهو توحيد الله، عبادة الله، وعلى رأسها توحيد الله. فأعظم طاعة أمر بها الخلق هي توحيد الله وإفراده بالعبادة، وأعظم معصية نهي عنها الخلق هي الشرك والعياذ بالله. قال الله تعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون، إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. وقال الله تعالى مبينا أن الخلق لم يخلقوا عبثا وإنما لمقصد عظيم، فقال: أفحسبتم أنما خلقناكم عبثا وأنكم إلينا لا ترجعون، أي ترجعون فتسألون عن أعمالكم، تسألون عن أوقاتكم، هل أنفقتموها في طاعة الله أم هدرتموها في معصية الله؟ إنكم ستقفون بين يدي ربكم حفاة عراة غرلا، ستسألون عن أعمالكم، وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. فالتوحيد هو أعظم ما جاءت به الرسل وأعظم ما نزلت به الكتب، ذلكم التوحيد الذي هو حق الله على العبيد. ولذلك ينبغي أن تشغل الأوقات كلها في طاعة الله عز وجل، في عبادة الله عز وجل، في اتباع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ظاهرا وباطنا، في نصرة هذا الدين، في التصدي للمشركين وللمنافقين وللمفسدين في الأرض، في جهاد أعداء الدين، جهاد الكلمة والبيان أم جهاد السيف والسنان بالحق نصرة للحق متى قامت أسبابه وشروطه ومبرراته. ولهذا الله عز وجل أقام الحجة على عباده بإرسال الرسل وعلى رأسهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإنزال الكتب وعلى رأسها هذا القرآن الذي لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه، الذي جاء تبيانا لكل شيء، الذي جعله الله هدى للعالمين، واتباع منهج السلف الصالح الذين عبدوا الله حق عبادته، الذين عرفوا قيمة الوقت فجعلوا أوقاتهم كلها لله، في ليلهم، في نهارهم، في سفرهم، في حضرهم، في حركاتهم، في سكناتهم، كلها لله، صرفوها لله وأنفقوها لله. حتى كان الواحد منهم يقول لصاحبه: هيا بنا نؤمن بربنا ساعة، هيا بنا نؤمن بربنا ساعة. ولذلك ما كان أحدهم يعرف الفراغ، ما يعرف الفراغ في حياته، ولا يعرف الكسل في حياتهم، بل حياتهم كلها عمل، كلها جهد، كلها جهاد، كلها أمر بالمعروف ونهي عن المنكر، كلها عبادة وذكر وتسبيح وتلاوة للقرآن. فعمروا أوقاتهم بذكر الله وبعبادة الله، حتى كان الواحد منهم إذا بلغ الأربعين عد نفسه من الأموات وشمر للآخرة.
Sheikh began, brothers and sisters, by reading Khutbat al-Hajah, praising Allah Azza wa Jal and sending the peace and salutations upon Rasulullah Salawatullahi wa Salamuhu Alayhi. He said, today's lecture is what has been announced in the program, and that is, how does the Muslim who lives here in the West, how should he spend his time? And another way of putting it is the importance of time as it relates to the life of the Muslim here in the West. And before we explain the details of this issue, inshallah, we want to explain to you and let you know that Allah Azza wa Jal has created this creation, all of it. And there's a tremendous reason why He created the creation. And this reason is the reason why He built the heavens and the earth. And because of this reason, He sent the messenger, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. And for this reason, He sent down the books, the divinely revealed books. For this reason, the innocent blood was spilt, the blood of the prophet and the blood of the shuhada, the martyr. It is the original reason and the main source as to why Allah Azza wa Jal has sent all of His messengers and all of His prophets. And that is for the tawheed of Allah Ta'ala and the worship of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And the greatest type of worship that a person can partake in is to establish this tawheed, to single Allah out and to make Him alone and one in your ibadah to Him. And the most severe and serious type of sin that Allah Ta'ala can be sinned against is for a person to fall into shirk, as Allah said in the Quran, and we have not created the jinn and mankind except that they should worship me. I do not want for them that they give me the rizq or that they see me, but Allah is Ar-Razzaq, and He is the one who is almighty, and He is Al-Mateen. So In so many ayat, Allah Ta'ala has explained the reason why He has created the people. And the reason why He created them is so that they can worship Him and Him alone. As He said in another ayat, do you think that we have created you in mere play for fun? No. Verily to us, you're going to return. The Shaykh says, so we have not been created abathan, with no wisdom, for no reason, haphazardly. You have been created for an important reason, and that is for the worship of Allah. So therefore, you're going to return back to Allah individually, and you're going to be asked about your actions and your deeds, and you're going to be asked about the time that has been allotted to you. Did you spend your time in the obedience of Allah, or did you spend it in committing ma'fiyah? When one of us stands before Allah Ta'ala, we will stand before Him barefooted, naked, and uncircumcised, and individually to be asked about these issues. So, at-tawheed, the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is the greatest form of worship that anyone can do. And it is why Allah Ta'ala has sent His Messenger. And it is the reason why He has also revealed all of the books. And the Tawheed of Allah Ta'ala, it is the haq that Allah has over all of His servants. And therefore, it is not acceptable for them to take that worship and to give it to other than Allah Ta'ala. So therefore, as a result of this, you have to make it your business to spend your time wisely and beneficially. To spend your time in the obedience of Allah. To spend your time in doing the ibadat that Allah Azza wa Jalla has legislated. Spending your time doing al-ittiba, or following unconditionally Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Spending your time, whether it is in the day, whether it is in the night, whether it is open, whether it is secret, spend your time defending the deen. All of this is something that you're going to be questioned about. Spending your time to repel and to stop the kuffar. Spending your time to repel and to stop the munafiqeen, those who are hypocrites. Spending your time to stop and to hold and to repel the mufsiduna fi the mufsidina fil ard, those who make fasad in the earth. Whether it is you making jihad with the kalima and saying the truth, or explaining the truth, or making the jihad of the sword, when the conditions present themselves for the proper jihad of the sword. All of this you're going to be questioned about, and you spend your time wisely. The Shaykh said, Allah Ta'ala, He has established the argument or the hujjah against His servants, all of them. He established the hujjah, the argument, by sending His Messenger, or by sending the messengers. And in front of them is the main prophet and messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And He has also established the argument or the hujjah against His creation, against the servant, by revealing all of the books. And in front of all of those books is the greatest book, the Quran. The book that nothing which is batil can come in front of it or after it. It explains what is the truth and what is untruth. It explains what is guidance and what is opposite to that. It is the book of light. He said, and we find that the salaf of this ummah, those righteous predecessors, they used to spend their time worshiping Allah Ta'ala haqqa ibadatihi, the way He deserved to be worshipped. They knew collectively and individually the importance of time. And you don't find them being people wasted time. In the daytime, in the nighttime, while they were traveling, while they were stationary, they were muqimun in their place of residence. They used to make the infaq, and they used to spend their time in the cause of Allah, and they used to spend it correctly. So we see, and we read, and we read, where one of them would say to his companion, come, let us believe in Allah for an hour. And they would remind each other. This is what they would say to each other. So the Shaykh said, as it relates to the righteous predecessors, they were a group of people who did not know idle time. They were a group of people who did not know what it was to be lazy. This was not a part of their life. They were people who were busy working. They were busy making effort. They were busy making jihad, spreading the truth. They were busy encouraging and enjoining what is the ma'ruf and prohibiting and preventing people from the munkar. They used to read the Quran, teach the Quran. They were preoccupied themselves with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times and in all kinds of ibadat that have been legislated. And the Shaykh said, if one of them became 40 years old from the Salaf, if one of them reached the age of 40, they would consider themselves to be from the dead. They looked at themselves and considered themselves to be from the dead. And then what they would do is, they would roll up their sleeves, and then they would start to preoccupy themselves for the hereafter, if they reached the age of 40.
الله عز وجل قد خلق الخلق لا لأجل أن يأكلوا ويشربوا وينكحوا ويرتعوا في هذه الدنيا فحسب، وإنما لأجل أن يعملوا الصالحات ولأجل أن يثبتوا عبودية الله ويقوموا بحق الله عليهم من عبادته وتوحيده وذكره وشكره وعمارة الأرض والقيام على ما استخلفهم الله واسترعاهم. ولهذا أعمار هذه الأمة، قد أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين 60 و70، وقليل من يتجاوز ذلك. وفي هذا حث من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالبدار إلى الأعمال الصالحة، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول بادروا بالأعمال الصالحة، بادروا أي عجلوا أسرعوا ولا تسوفوا، فإن التسويف من كيد الشيطان بالإنسان، يقال له صلي فيقول إن شاء الله إن شاء الله إن شاء الله سأصلي، ثم يداهمه الموت فمن غير أن يصلي لله ركعة. فماذا أفاد هذا من حياته؟ إنه قد خسر الدنيا والآخرة. هل أنبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا؟ الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. هذه الأمة أعمارها قصيرة، أعمارها قليلة، لكن الله جعل فيها البركة، جعل البركة في أعمالها. هذه الأمة آخر الأمم، وهي خير أمة أخرجت للناس، فإن عملت قليلا أجرت كثيرا. أرأيتم كيف قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، بل أرأيتم كيف قال الله عز وجل ليلة القدر خير من 1,000 شهر، فمن قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا فكأنه عبد الله 84 سنة لم يغفل عن عبادة ربه طرفة عين، كأنه عاش حياة رجل معمر، فكيف بمن قام 10 ليال من ليالي القدر؟ كيف بمن قام 20 ليلة يأتي في صحيفته عبادة من عمر 1,000 سنة أو أكثر؟ فلهذا هذه الأمة أعمارها قليلة، أعمالها كثيرة، الحسنة بعشر أمثالها. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: أعذر الله إلى رجل أمهله إلى الستين، يعني من أمد الله في عمره إلى ستين سنة فلا عذر له عند الله أن يقول: يا ربي ما متعتني بالعمر وما مددت في عمري حتى أعمل الصالحات وحتى أستفيد من الأوقات وحتى أنتفع من الأيام والليالي، فلا عذر له، لأن هذا الذي مات شابا قد يقول: يا ربي لو أطلت في عمري أكثر لعبدتك ولعملت الصالحات، وهذا الذي مات كهلا يقول: يا ربي لو أبلغتني إلى أن أكون شيخا لفعلت كذا وكذا. أما ذاك الذي متعه الله بالعافية وبالعمر حتى بلغ الستين فلا عذر له عند الله أن يأتي مفرطا مقصرا. ولهذا أيها الإخوة، أهمية الوقت في الإسلام عظيمة. يقولون: الوقت من ذهب، وهذه عبارة قاصرة، فإن الذهب له قيمة. الوقت هو الحياة، الوقت هو رأس مالك، الوقت هو حياتك، الوقت كالسيف إن لم تقطعه قطعك. ولذلك الوقت لا يقدر بثمن. إن النفس الذي يخرج منك لا يعود أبدا إلى يوم الدين. ولهذا هل أنت إلا أنفاس؟ فإن ذهبت أنفاسك ذهب، وإن انتهت أنفاسك انتهيت. ولهذا عليكم، بل علينا جميعا، أن نحرص على أوقاتنا أشد من حرصنا على عيوننا وأرواحنا. إننا بحاجة إلى أن نحافظ على أوقاتنا وأن نشغلها في طاعة الله عز وجل وفي عبادته وفي كل ما أمر، أشد من حاجتنا للطعام والشراب والهواء. لأن الإنسان إذا مات جائعا فإنه محتسبا، فإنه يكون عند الله مغفورا له، يكون في الجنة. أما إذا مات مقصرا مفرطا مضيعا لعمره، مضيعا لوقته، مضيعا لصلاته، مضيعا لدينه، فإنه قد خسر الدنيا والآخرة. وإذا كان الحفاظ على الوقت واجبا حتى لو كنت في بيت الله الحرام، فكيف الحفاظ على الوقت وأنت تعيش في مواطن الشهوات، في مواطن الفتن، في مواطن الغربة، في مواطن الغفلة، يحيط بك الكفر من كل جانب. لهذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: مثل الذي يذكر الله والذي لا يذكره كمثل الحي والميت. الميت لا فائدة منه، ترتجى ولا يعطي خيرا ولا يأخذ خيرا. الميت انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الحي هو الذي يعطي ويأخذ ويدفع وينفع، وأجره جار عليه. ولهذا من جملة ما علمنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أننا إذا دخلنا السوق فذكرنا الله فقلنا: لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت، وهو حي لا يموت، بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. في موطن الغفلة تذكر ربك، يكتب لك عند الله ألف ألف حسنة، ويمحى عنك ألف ألف سيئة، وترفع ألف ألف درجة. ليس في حياة المسلم وقت فائض ليهدره فيما لا يعود عليه بخير وفيما يضره في دينه ودنياه، لا، إن حياة المسلم كلها مليئة بالأعمال الصالحة، مليئة بطلب العلم، مليئة بتلاوة القرآن، مليئة بنوافل العبادات ونوافل الطاعات، مليئة بصلة الأرحام وزيارة المرضى وزيارة الأحبة وزيارة الإخوان، مليئة بكل خير. ولهذا أيها الإخوة يبين لنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أهمية الوقت فيقول: إذا قامت القيامة، إذا قامت القيامة على أحدكم وفي يده فسيلة، والفسيلة هي النبتة الصغيرة، النخلة الصغيرة، النخلة الصغيرة، إذا قامت القيامة وفي يد أحدكم فسيلة فليغرسها، يعني لا يقول قامت القيامة وانقطع العمل وانتهى كل شيء وأن لي أن آكل من هذه النخلة، من هذه الفسيلة، وأن لي أن أقطف الثمار، بل عليه أن يغرسها حتى وهو يرى القيامة تقوم، وهو في النزع يرى روحه ويشعر أنه انقطع من هذه الدنيا، يذكر الله ويكن وليكن آخر قول يختم به عمره لا إله إلا الله، فمن كان آخر كلامه من الدنيا لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. والشيطان عدو الإنسان حريص على إضاعة وقت المسلم في غير نفع، وحريص على إشغاله بالملهيات وبالشهوات، وحريص على تضييع أوقاته التي هي رأس ماله، رأس عمره، حتى يدهمه الموت فيخسر الدنيا والآخرة.
إن شاء الله يا إخوان, we won't let the Sheikh go too far after this. He said concerning the third points that he wanted to make, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the creation, and he did not create us human beings for the sole purposes of eating or drinking or marrying or enjoying the mata' of the dunya only. He didn't create us only for those things. That's part of the creation, but that is not the exclusive reason why we have been created. No, instead, he has created us so that we can come with the good deeds and the good actions that will benefit us, so that we can come with establishing the servitude to Allah Ta'ala, or the ubudiyah, being slaves and servants to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah Ta'ala wants from all of us to do our level best to be people who worship Him, people who make the tawheed of Him, people who remember Him, people who bring the earth and give the earth life, people who take care of the responsibility of the khilafah, the istikhlaf that Allah Ta'ala has made the human beings responsible for here in this earth. And the Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi.
Brother, sorry, it's slow, but can you just move forward slightly? The brother's at the front. I make some more room at the back. Jazakumullah khair.
Very important point is that Allah's Messenger and His Prophet, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, he has informed us that the lifespan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us and informed us that the lifespan of the majority of the people who are from his ummah is what is between 60 and 70 years old on average. Some people pass that, some people are under that. Some people go beyond that, some people are under that. But in general, he told us, this is the average lifespan of the person from his ummah. In telling us this, it is giving us preparation and knowledge of the importance of doing good deeds. And he encouraged us in so many ahadith to take advantage of the time and to take advantage of our lives, 60 to 70 years. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hurry up and do the good deeds. So, in essence, he's telling us not to procrastinate. And don't say, so far, I'm going to do it. Shaitan, this is one of the main tools that he uses. He comes to someone and he makes him say, I'm going to do it. So when it is said to him, pray, start making the salah. He says, I'm going to do it, inshallah, I will pray. And he spends his time procrastinating until death comes to him all of a sudden. And when you look at his situation, he never performs a single rak'ah of what he said he was going to do. As a result of that, this individual has lost and he has destroyed his dunya and his akhirah. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, shall I not inform you of those people who are worse than their deeds? Those people who do the deeds and they think that they are doing good, but their deeds have gone astray. They missed the point. The Shaykh said, so therefore, ikhwan, in our ummah, the lifespan is short and the years that we have been allotted are very, very few. But despite that fact, from the rahmah of Allah Ta'ala upon us, is that He has put barakah in the life of the Muslim. For an example, how did He put the barakah in the life of the Muslim who has a short lifespan? We are the last ummah to come, and yet we have been designated as being the best ummah that was brought forth for mankind. We do a few deeds. Our actions and our deeds, they may be few in number, but the reward for that small deed is tremendous, and it's mammoth. A glaring example of that is what Allah Azza wa Jalla said about Laylatul Qadr. He said that Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. So any individual from this ummah who stands up and he prays Laylatul Qadr with iman and with ihtisab, looking forward, believing, looking forward to his reward for Allah, if he does it just one time, it is similar to someone who has been given the opportunity to live for 80 years, that one night, and that is a barakah. It is as if that individual who prayed that one night of Laylatul Qadr has lived the life of a man who lived so many years. Now, what about the individual who prays 10 Laylatul Qadr, 20 Laylatul Qadr? It is as if that individual, when he will be brought forth Yawmul Qiyamah and his scrolls are put before him and laid bare, it would be as if he lived to be the age of a man who was given 1,000 years in his lifespan. Another example of the barakah that has been afforded to us, and this is exclusive only for this ummah, is that Allah Azza wa Jal has made the hasana, one good deed. The reward of it is that you get at least 10 ajr for the one hasana. So the hasana is with 10 similar to it. If you do one good deed, you'll get in return at least 10 more hasanat as a reward. Another very important hadith and concept and issue that I want to inform you about is the authentic hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that Allah Ta'ala has made the ta'zir, azzar Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal has made the ta'zir of a man who he allowed that man to live 60 years. So the Shaykh went on to explain what is this ta'zir and what is the meaning of this hadith. The individual from this ummah, showing the importance of the time, if Allah has allowed him to live, to hit the age of 60 or beyond, then there's no excuse that will be accepted from him. Because he was afforded ample time to take advantage of what was given to him. The person who lives to be 60 or above, he can't come after his death, Yawmul Qiyamah, and he says, oh my Lord, only if you would have given me a little bit more time, I would have done more good deeds. The Sheikh said, why didn't that individual benefit from the time that he had? He has no excuse. No excuse will be accepted from him because Allah Azza wa Jal has given him 60 years to live on this earth. It's not like the young man, the young youth, the shab, who died when he was young. He may have the opportunity to say, oh Allah, if you had only given me more time, I would have done this, I would have done that. The infant who died in the cradle, when Allah takes his soul, maybe he can say, oh my Lord, if you would have allowed me to live, to become a sheikh, I would have done this and I would have done that. If you only had given me the opportunity to live. As for the one from amongst us, who had all of this time, 60 years, and he didn't take advantage of it, he can't come Yawmul Qiyamah, except that he is muqassir. He is a person who has tafsir. He's fallen short of the mark. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. So, brothers, the importance of the time is azim. It is an important issue. The importance of the time is an issue that is important. They say, as many of you have heard, that time is like gold. Time is like gold. That is a similar tool. The Sheikh said, this statement of theirs is not hitting the mark. It is qasira. It is not enough. It's not correct. Because if you look at gold, gold has a monetary price that you can attach to it. It has a price. So time is not like that. The time that you have been given is priceless. And the reason why I say that the time is priceless is because the time is your life. The time is everything about who you are. It is your existence. Time is like a sword. If you don't cut it, it's going to cut you. If you don't take advantage of it, it's going to come back and it's going to harm you. He said the time is more precious or just as precious as the life or the breath, the breathing that one of us does when we breathe. When you breathe and you send out that air, that breath that goes away, it's not going to come back to you. Once it's out, it's gone. That's it. That's your life. So therefore, if a person's ability to breathe ends, then the natural consequences are clear. So the time, brothers, is more important or just as important that we take care of it and we make the muhafiza, we have the hifz of the time more than we have the hifz of our eyes and our hearing and our limbs. It is that important. It's more important than the food that we eat. It's more important than the liquids that we drink. If a person were to starve to death as a result of not eating and not drinking, and as he began to die, he died seeking his reward with Allah, he'll get a reward. He'll get a tremendous reward. But if an individual, he died and he didn't take care of his time, he was an individual who allowed the time to slip away, he lost the time, he was negligent about the time, he wasn't concerned about the time, then this individual, unlike the one who died being patient, this individual, he destroys and he loses his dunya and his akhirah. As it relates to our issue here today, if a person was in the sacred precinct of Mecca, he would be obligated to take care of his time. The time is important for him to take advantage of what he has been given. And he is in the sacred precinct of Mecca. What about the individual who is in a place like this? The place of desire. The place of disbelief. The place where on all corners he is surrounded by kufr. He's surrounded by that which takes him away from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the condition of some of these people, verily the example of the one who remembers Allah and the example of the one who doesn't remember Allah is like the example of the one who is living and the one who is dead. That's the society, the environment that we're living in. As you all can testify to, the one who is dead, the one who has no life, he cannot benefit. He cannot give good. He cannot do anything except what the hadith said, that if the dead person dies, all of his actions cease to continue with the exception of three. Other than that, he has no benefit. He gives no benefit. But the one who is living, the one who is alive, the one who is taking advantage of the time, he's the one who can give. He's the one who can repel. He's the one who can prevent. He's the one who can benefit. He's the one who gives benefit. So, with that being the case, ikhwan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged us to take advantage of our time that has been given to us. And he taught us in so many examples that are manifest to us if we just take the time out to listen. An example of that is when one of us enters into the souq, into the marketplace. He told us sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, if anyone enters into the marketplace and he says, La ilaha illallah wahtahu la sharika lah. He says that. Allah is the living. He gives life and he gives death. And in his hands is all of the good. And he is able and capable of doing everything. If a person says that, when he goes into the souq, he will get 1,000,000 hasana written. 1,000,000 sins taken off. 1,000,000 levels he would raise up. So something as insignificant as going into the marketplace, this hadith shows the importance of how Islam came to tell you, take care of the time. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And he has no partner. He is the one who gives life. He's the one who gives death. In his hand is the good. And he is over everything capable. 1,000,000 hasana, 1,000,000 sayyi'ah taken away, and 1,000,000 darajat he will be given. So, ikhwan, is anyone doubting that the importance of the time, it is your life? The time should be spent. And the time that is beneficial is the one who spends his life and is full of good. He searches for knowledge. He reads the Quran. He does the nawafil from the ibadat. Those things that are above what is an obligation. He takes advantage of his time by connecting his relationships with his family members. He takes advantage of his time by going to visit those who are sick, those who are less fortunate. He takes advantage of his time by going to visit those who are his loved ones, those who are close to him. He takes advantage of the time to spread good throughout the people and with the people. In another authentic hadith showing the importance of time, Rasulullah said sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, if Yawmul Qiyamah is about to be established, and one of you has in your hand a fasila. The fasila is the beginning of the date palm tree, the seed that's going to make the tree grow. If you have in your hand this thing, and the Qiyamah begins to start. Rasulullah said, if anyone, this is your situation, the Qiyamah is about to start, and you have in your hand the seed, hurry up and plant it. The Shaykh said, so we understand from this hadith that the person doesn't say, why am I going to plant this seed in Qiyamah? I'm not going to be able to eat it. I'm not going to be able to take off the fruit from the tree. I'm not going to be able to benefit from what the fruit, what the tree sends forth. It's not going to do me any good. Let me prepare myself. The Shaykh said, this is the preparation. This is the meaning of the hadith, telling us and showing us the importance of taking advantage of the time regardless of what's going on. So you go and you find yourself a masjid, a place of worship. You go to that place, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're in that masjid. And while you're in that masjid, remembering Allah, or you're in other than the masjid, you try your best to take advantage of the time by making the dhikr of Allah and securing to the best of your ability that the last thing that comes out of your mouth is the statement, La ilaha illallah. Because he said, Salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Whoever, the last word that he said, whoever dies, and the last word that he said was, La ilaha illallah, will enter into Jannah. Take advantage of the time. And beware of a shaitan. Beware of the devil. A shaitan, he will preoccupy you, make you busy with what does not benefit you. He will make you busy with following after the desire in all of their variations. Until the point that your life and the time slips away. And before you know it, you are confronted with your death. So take advantage of the time and beware of a shaitan.